Hey, welcome into Stacking Dubs, guys. I am your host, Chris Chin, coming to you during the Warriors bye week, I guess is what we'll call it here. They don't play again until Friday. Finally get a little rest in the schedule, get back to, I guess it's full health, right? We got everybody back, assuming Steph is back on Friday. But I've been on a cruise ship celebrating my 40th birthday with my friends. So I missed the last couple of games, but I am caught up now. I rewatched the games, and there are just basically two big takeaways that we're going to focus on today, which essentially lead into each other. Pat Spencer breakout, doing his best Jeremy Lin breakout impression here. Very similar, hopefully not as short-lived. Shout out Jeremy Lin, Palo Alto High School. I'm from the Bay. I went to San Mateo, Chinese American like myself. Pat Spencer, great breakout. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then secondly, the Jonathan Kuminga DNP in a 30-point win. And obviously, it seems like he's on his way out. What does that mean? It means we're back to trade speculation talk, which is what we'll spend the most of the time on this episode talking about. I've got about 10 names I'm going to throw out there. Maybe a handful of them are viable competitive moves that really move the needle for the Warriors, but we'll talk about that in a second. Back to Pat Spencer. Man, I mean, my immediate takeaway is that he's giving you what you would have hoped to have gotten from Dennis Schroeder last year when we made that trade. It's maybe kind of like a Malik Monk would give you if you had done like that Kuminga for Monk in a first trade, in a lesser way, like kind of what Jordan Poole gave you a few years ago. It's really just that microwave sixth man type scorer that can initiate offense on his own, can at the moment knock down an open shot, can just get 2 feet in the paint and just create for others and just, you know, get you a handful of assists, and can just be that guy when Steph is off the floor. Even when Jimmy's on the floor, he just gives you another ball handler, low turnovers, which I don't know if you can say the same about those other three names I just said, but, you know, just good assist to turnover ratio. Someone that's just a dog, you know, he's an MF-er, someone that just gives you that energy. And is it sustainable? I don't know. I'm not going to underrate Pat. I mean, he is fiery. He hasn't played huge minutes historically, and obviously he's going to cool down a little bit, but from what you've seen and what he can provide, even if it's just a little bit less than this, you know, maybe it's not going to be 16 points a game and like six assists shooting 75% from three, but can he give you just something kind of like that 10, 11 points off the bench? You know, if he's playing, I don't know, how many minutes are we going to give him going forward? I'd like to see maybe 18 minutes, 15 to 18 minutes. And if he's playing well, you give him even more. Maybe give him some of Pajemski's minutes, just depending on how that's going. But, you know, give us maybe a dozen points, give you four assists, but mainly just be an initiator that raises the offense, raises that bench unit, that sixth man type role. If he can be that, it opens up a world of options for what the Warriors can do in trade talks here, because the biggest hole for the Warriors is that third initiator. We've seen Pajemski try to take that role with Steph out. You've seen Kuminga try to take that role with Steph out. Mixed results at best. In reality, not good results, and neither has proven to be sufficient in terms of being able to handle that role in a winning effort. So outside of Steph, outside of Jimmy, Pat's been the most reliable in terms of, hey, the ball's in his hands and he can go out and win you a game. He can go out and win you a few games. He can basically carry an offense when not much else is going. He can find shots for other guys. Works well now that Melton's back. I think the biggest flaw in Pat is just his size on the defensive end, and he'll compete, but, you know, it's going to be hard to play him next to Steph for that reason as the perimeter defense. Melton helps a bit, and you can kind of play different combinations there. Other trends, we're just seeing a lot more pick and roll with Pat on the floor, and it's due to obviously personnel. I think I saw the stat that I think like league average pick and rolls per game is like somewhere around like 40 across the NBA. Warriors with Steph, generally around like 28 pick and roll possessions per game. And with Pat, that's gone up to like the mid-40s. So we're like well above the league average, and we're playing a lot more pick and roll. And I've liked it. I understand without Steph, it's a completely different team. And I like that we finally made the adjustment. When Steph comes back, what does that become? We're gonna go back to motion offense a bit because that works with Steph. We know that. But I think it's important that this team has found an identity away from just motion offense and sees that it can have success in pick and roll. And, Jimmy can run it, Steph can obviously run it, but Pat now gives you another reliable ball handler in that pick and roll, something that you weren't getting with Pajemski, something that you might get a little bit more with Melton, who again can be that maybe even your next play initiator. But between the two of them, Pat Melton gives you a lot of hope going forward for the Warriors guards and just again play initiation. So great job there. My concerns again, combinations of guards. Can you play Pat with Steph a lot of minutes? I don't know. It depends how you have him backed up on with your bigs in the front court behind him. I think what you're going to end up seeing more is that you're going to play Pat with Jimmy and that unit. And then you're probably going to see Steph play more with like Melton and then maybe pods, depending on, how many minutes you want to limit Melton to. Those will kind of be your guard combinations there. Obviously, you can mix in the spacer shooter with Buddy, Seth Curry, Moody at kind of like that 2-3 position. But again, then you're a little undersized there. So looks like with a lot of depth and options at that guard position with Pat in the fray now. Oh, also Will Richard, you have him in there as well. So yeah, a lot of options there. And I say all that because if you're looking at trades, I think it and you believe in what Pat's doing, I think it now means you are no longer looking at a guard in a Kuminga trade. There were talks of it, depending on who you get, is Monk a guy that you do need? I think we need to trust and believe in what we have in our guards, and you have to just go and get some positional size, whether that is a wing, whether that is a big, or it's just a big center. Well, talking of center here, Quinton Post, the other takeaway, maybe even burying the lead here, because Quinton Post has been phenomenal. The shooting is starting to come around, 5 of 10 the other game, and that shooting percentage from three will be better than that 35% he's shooting on the season. I see him more of like a 38, 39% shooter, shot 40% last year, very good stretch big on offense, even starting to see that he can do other things. He's always been a little underrated as a passer, but starting to be able to put the ball on the floor and just create late shot clock and just kind of find something if needed in a pinch. But the defense, Quinton Post defensively is rated, as I'm sure you know, a top five. He's top five in defensive rating in the NBA. Defensive field goal percentage at the rim, he's like amongst top two in the league. I think it's like him and Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart on the Pistons, averaging like 1.3 blocks per game. And he's just been a rim deterrent. He has been fantastic as that center defensive player, especially with Draymond Green. Is it a big enough sample size to believe that he is a top even 10 defensive center in the league? I don't know, but I do believe that he is much improved and a completely different player on the defensive side of the ball than last year. He's someone that you should be giving at least 20, 25 minutes now, especially if he starts to be able to space the floor on the other side. It's what you've wanted out of a big for the longest time as a Warrior, is just someone who can defend as a center, not foul, give you rim protection, and then space the floor on the other side of the court. It's why the Warriors have always been interested in a name that we're going to talk about in a bit, Miles Turner, because that's exactly what Miles Turner does, and a little bit different players, and again, a little more established. But if you believe in what Post is doing, I don't know that Turner becomes a player that you start giving Kuminga and picks for at that salary when you might just have to give significant minutes to Quinton Post. So I'll just leave that there. Let's get on to the Kuminga DNP and just the trades. Obviously, it sounds like for all intents and purposes, January 15th is just go time for the Warriors. What move is it going to be? Because there's just no way that Kuminga will be on this roster at that point, unless barring some huge turnaround from him and getting minutes in the next, what is it, six, nine? I don't know how many games they have left until that point, but barring a huge turnaround for Kuminga, I just don't see how he's going to fit and get significant minutes, and that's going to be what the Warriors do. So, first and foremost, I think it's going to have to be a wing, or sorry, my preference would be a wing who can also still initiate a little bit of offense and give you a little bit of spacing. I know that's a dream scenario, but if you're trading with Kuminga, you just need some athleticism and some length on the wing. Spacing is obviously very important because our front court doesn't have a ton of spacing if it's Draymond and Jimmy. And then if we don't know for sure that Pat or Melton is going to be this first, guaranteed play initiator, that is just something that's still going to be a weakness, especially in that closing five. You just need someone else who can initiate when Steph and Jimmy aren't. So in a perfect world, I'll just throw this name out. We don't even have to talk about it very much, but Trey Murphy, we all know that, hey, if you can swing a trade for Kuminga and pretty much whatever picks at this point, I'm fine going to go Trey Murphy and just go and push the chips in. Two first round picks, done. More than that, let's discuss it, explore other options. But if three first round picks gets it done, I think that's probably your best option at this point. Again, depending on what else is available out there. Other forwards, I'm just kind of looking at teams that might be selling. You have Herb Jones on the Pelicans. He's in at like $14 million contract, so it's a great contract, and you can maybe go make other moves. And he's going to be by far the best defensive player you can get. That Warriors defense would be nasty if you get Herb Jones. You would have Melton, Herb Jones, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond in that closing lineup. If you're going small, you can also throw Horford Post in there if you want to go bigger. You still have GB2 as another POA who wouldn't even play anymore if we have Herb Jones. But that is just a filthy defensive lineup. Offensively, you clearly run into spacing option. Spacing, and unless Herb Jones shoots 40% from three like he did 2 years ago, but even still, defenses aren't staying glued to him. He's not providing gravity, not even a double digit score. So he's really just a defensive player. You would still need to find a way to go get a little more offensive punch because the Warriors have the 22nd best offense in the league, third best defense in the league. I don't know if just going all in on a defensive, an all defensive wing fixes everything, but it would be really nice. Other wings, you can kind of go the other way with it, and you go spend up for like a Michael Porter Jr., who's making $40 million, and you're super top heavy, not a great defender, but he is lighting it up from three. He gives you everything you can want in terms of spacing from a shoot. I think he's averaging 25 points, and he's shooting like over 40% from three. Gives you that option. Your offense would clearly explode. What does it do defensively? I don't know, but at least he has some size, some length, plays smaller than he is. But that's basically the opposite of getting a Herb Jones. You were just going straight offense there. Other straight offensive move on the wing would be like a Mathurin, Benedict Mathurin on the Pacers. He's averaging like 21 points per game. His assists are kind of low, so it's only a couple. So he's not quite like an initiator as much as he is just a scorer, a slasher, very athletic. Kind of gives you what you want out of like what you're hoping Kuminga can give you, except he's 6'5" and he doesn't really give you positional size. He's more like a shooting guard, which we already have plenty of. I don't know that he's big enough to play in a closing lineup there with, Steph, call it Melton, Dre, and Jimmy. Shooting great this year. He's shooting like 42% from three, which is a career high. I don't know how reliable the spacing or that is. He's probably more like a 37% shooter from three, but gives you everything you want offensively outside of what, or just in a different way that Michael Porter Jr. gives you. Would I think he's on like this, a similar, maybe a little bit less of a contract than Kuminga. I think the size hurts me there. I don't think I could do that. So also looking at other forwards, something kind of in the middle here, right? So not just straight defense, not just straight offense, but kind of in the middle. 3 and D prototypes, you're not getting as much initiation, as much playmaking, but you get a shooter and you get good defense would be like an Aaron Nesmith, who's a 40% shooter. It's been a, I don't think he's been quite as good this year, but on the Pacers, you saw it in the finals last year. Very good prototypical 3-and-D type player. Or like a PJ Washington. I don't know if he's available, but he's also in that $20 million range. Better defender, pretty good 3-point shooter, good enough 3-point shooter. Has done it in the finals for the Mavericks a few years ago. And I don't know if either of them put you over the top in PJ Washington or Nesmith, but it's a the best fit, you could call it, for what the Warriors need in terms of just some positional size, defense, and then gives you some spacing. So I think on a smaller move, and if you really just don't want to package as many first round picks, that is acceptable. Let's see here. Let me think here. DeRozan. Not for me. He's just an isolation type player, not great defensively. I don't think DeRozan makes a ton of sense, but it's better than Kuminga. Let's see here. Let's go to bigs because so those are all kind of the wings. Let's go to the bigs here because that's the other way you can shift here. You're going to be a little weak at the wing position, but if you go get a center, now you bump Dre to the four. Now you bump Jimmy to the three, and that could potentially solve that problem, although you do have spacing issues depending on your big. I would not want Sabonis. Too much money, no defense, not a would be good for the offense, but just too soft in my opinion. So I'm gonna say no to Sabonis. Doesn't give you spacing, but probably the best overall just big that's on the market here. Outside of your Giannis's and Anthony Davis's of the world would be Zubac from the Clippers. I think that might be my outside of Trey Murphy, the dream scenario. Again, the spacing's kind of messed up, but he's going to give you, a good scoring double-double option, great rebounding, great defender. He's turned into a very good defender who's switchable, protects the hoop, just gives you a ton of size, would be great with Jimmy and Dre in that front court on defense. I don't know that the spacing works, but he's such a good post scorer that it opens up enough, kind of like how Jimmy opens up space on the perimeter for Steph to kind of run around. It just spreads the spacing inside and out. Can that coexist with Jimmy there? I need to see how that works. But if you're getting 30 minutes out of Zubac, that team. Again, not the perfect fit, but that team's competitive. That's a very good team. And I think Zubac would be the way I would want to do this if the Clippers, when the Clippers blow it up. Nick Claxton on the Nets, kind of like a rim runner. He's blossoming, a lot of block shots, gives you vertical spacing. He's also a good passer. I think he's up at like 3.5, maybe even like 4 assists out of that big position. I might be exaggerating that, but he's a good passer, which the Warriors would love. Doesn't give you any spacing is the problem here again, but that passing does open up a lot of avenues there. So I've never really wanted just kind of like a non-shooting threat, but Claxton could make sense. The problem is I don't know if the Nets are interested in Kuminga at all since they did not offer him a sheet over the offseason. But Claxton potentially. Daniel Gafford, if the Mavs are selling, kind of gives you again a rim runner, not as good a passer, but he's on a better contract. I think he's only like 14 million, and you can probably get him much cheaper. Gives you someone who could probably play like 18 minutes just as another big off the bench, like a glorified TJD is what he would give you, which there is a use for and would be a good role player that the Warriors could have as a front court depth. Miles Turner, let's get back to that. So Turner's the interesting one here, and it all just depends on how much faith you have in Quentin Post. They do a pretty similar thing for the Warriors in terms of spacing on offense, shot blocking and defense. Turner was one of the maybe the premier shot blocker defensively for several years. He's not quite that as much as he was anymore, but he's still an elite shot blocker. Better defensively than Post. Let's just call it that. He's more of a track record, better defensively than Post, and he would fix every defensive perimeter POA problem that the Warriors could potentially have and erase them at the hoop. He would free Draymond out to roam a bit and just kind of freelance. And the defense would be probably the best defense in the league, maybe rivaling the Thunder with Turner. Offensively, he is a bit limited. He's not as good a shooter as Quinton Post is. He gives you a little bit more dimension on offense. He can find other ways to score, but he's not the best offensive player. But again, he can just kind of shoot that mid-range, which we don't love, but he can kind of get to spots and in a pinch give you a moderate mid-range selection at the end of shot clocks. I do like Turner. He's at 25 mil, so it would pretty much be Kuminga and then probably a pick for Turner. And if Post doesn't have it or whatever or not, you're pretty much always playing a stretch five because you also have Al Horford. So is it too much? And they're all pretty much centers. You're playing Horford, Turner, Post, and just splitting 48 minutes between those three. And Draymond is exclusively playing the four. I guess you could play two bigs at times. You can play Horford and Turner or Horford and Post at the same time. Now you got more spacing. So it seems like overkill for the price, but it's an option and it will be interesting to see. Am I missing anybody? I think those are all the names I have on the trade list. So I kind of threw out maybe like 10 of them. I'm gonna rank them in order. Trey Murphy, obviously, first option, depending on cost, but I think at this point, if you want to compete for a championship, I spend the picks. I spend Kuminga. You might have to give a little bit more elsewhere, but and you might have to include Pajemski in that. Got Kuminga, Pajemski, and two firsts. Do you do that for Trey Murphy? I would still shop around elsewhere for better deals, but if that was the deal, I would probably do it just to push in my chips. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. Do you do Kuminga and call it two first and a first round swap? So call it three first for Murphy, or would you do Pajemski, Kuminga, two firsts, which is probably a little cheaper because Pajemski's not worth a first. But anyways, what would you do for Trey Murphy? What's the max you would do for Murphy? I'm curious. After that, number two, I think Zubac would be my most immediate target. Again, this is saying you're not getting, a star. You're not getting Giannis. You're not getting Anthony Davis. You're not getting Kawhi or any of these kind of guys. So Zubac would be my next, not the perfect fit, but again, just talent wise, and he just fixed your size, and everyone just kind of slots down and put in from power forward to small forward, et cetera. That does a lot for you. Then it's kind of hard. Then there's a huge drop off. I don't really know how I rank Herb Jones, Michael Porter Jr., PJ Washington, Aaron Nesmith. Those four are the wings that you would need, and they all give you something different. So do you want someone like on a good contract that fits you as a 3 and D? That would be like Nesmith or PJ Washington. Decent contract, not great. Do you pay up for MPJ, who just gives you offense and some size? I don't know. I kind of think that would be towards the back of mine, but that truly would be the all and go for it. Put all your money and everything on the table now. You might have defensive problems, or do the opposite. You go get Herb Jones. Your defense is just elite. He's on a very good $14 million contract this year. And then you make a supplementary move to go get more offense. Those four are tough. Who would you rather have out of those, considering fit and contract? Herb Jones, PJ Washington, Aaron Nesmith, MPJ. I'm not sure. Mathurin also you can throw in there, but I'm putting him on the back end just because of the size. And then lastly, Miles Turner, Claxton. If you're of the we need to get bigger mentality, I would probably go Claxton just because he gives you something different. Just because Turner, yeah, that would be great, but I think if the Warriors are going to contend and be over the top, you're going to have to assume that Quinton Post is just going to continue being a 20 mid-20s player. You're going to have to assume Al Horford kind of emerges and gives you those good center minutes. So I think if you're making your big move for Turner, I think it's kind of redundant. So for that reason, I would say I'd probably put Claxton ahead of Turner at this point. I don't know. We'll see how that kind of I could be convinced the other way. So anyways, What do you guys think? Let me know. I'm curious. It's fun to speculate, and there's a lot of options hopefully on the table. It all kind of depends on what Kuminga's value is. I do think you're going to have to get Kuminga back in the rotation. You might, as the schedule softens towards the back end of December and you start playing your Charlotte Hornets and those weaker Eastern Conference teams out there, you might have to start maybe even starting Kuminga, hoping you can still just take care of the game, showcase Kuminga a little bit, and hope that he's playing better and just get his value up a little bit. But let's worry about that later. All right, still a couple days off, but then we got a Friday game against Anthony Edwards and the Wolves coming to town. So we will be with you after that game. Until then, I've been Chris Chin. Give me a like, follow, subscribe, comment below. I will talk to you next time. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.